And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
I am wonderful, thank God. And how are you?
I am wonderful, too.
Good. Happy to hear. So, this week's Torah portion is Parshat Vayetzei. Fascinating in itself. We learn how Jacob leaves his hometown of Beersheba and journeys to Haran. And on the way, he encounters the quote-unquote the place and sleeps there. And everyone knows the story. He's dreaming of a ladder connecting heaven and earth with angels, you know, climbing and descending it. And God appears and promises the land upon which he lies shall be given to his descendants. And Jacob raises the stone which he laid his head on, and he makes it as an altar, as a monument pledging that it will be made the house of God. And obviously we know that that is where the temple was erected over there. Now it's interesting because the rabbis in the Talmud, in the Gemara, focused on an apparent grammatical inconsistency in the portion of what we just read now. Because it says that when Jacob journeyed from Beersheba to Haran, stopping on the way to rest for the night, the Torah tells us he took from the stones of the place, arranged them around his head, and lay down to rest. But then in the morning when he wakes, we read a slightly different story. Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone he placed around his head and he set it up as a pillar. Now let's think about this thing, because first we read of the stones in the plural, then we read of the stone in the singular.
Yeah.
Which one was it? Did Jacob use a single stone, or did he use many different stones? So there's a lovely Talmudic tradition that is laid and rarely with the profound symbolism, and this answers the question. He says, Jacob indeed took several different stones. The stones began quarreling, each one saying, upon me shall the righteous person rest his head. So God combined them all into one stone. And what happened? The quarreling ceased. Hence, when Jacob, Yaakov, woke in the morning, you read, he took the stone in the singular, since all the stones became one. So what is the symbolism behind this imagery? And what is the meaning of the stones quarreling with each other and then reaching a state of peace by congealing into one? What happened? And a little bit more of an obvious question is, how did the merging of the diverse stones into a single entity satisfy their complaint? Because their argument, their complaint was, upon me shall this righteous person rest his head. So even after the stones congealed into a single large stone, the head of Jacob still lie only on one part of the stone. So why didn't the other parts of the stone still complain that Jacob's head is now lying on them? And so something that I saw so interesting, I was reading it last night, the Lubavitcher Rebbe explained something very moving, with very simplicity and eloquence. It says like this: the fighting between the stones was not caused because each one wanted the tzaddik, the righteous man's head. That wasn't the reason. It was because they were separate stones. Now, when the stones become one, the fighting ceases. Because when you feel one with the other, you don't mind if the head of the righteous one rests upon him. Because his victory is your victory. His loss is your loss. Why? Because you're one. So the episode with the stones then reflects a profound spiritual truth about human relationships. Because much conflict in communities, in synagogues, in families, in organizations, in corporations, in movements, so on and so forth, they all stem from everyone's fear that someone else will end up with the head and you'll be thrown under the bus. You'll end up with the feet, the tail. But we can view each other in two distinct ways. As either diverse stones or as a single stone. Now, both are very valid perspectives. The first is, you know, think about superficial. The second demands, you know, more reflection, more sensitivity. Because superficially, we are indeed separate. You are you, I and I. We're strangers, I want the head, you want the head, so we quarrel. But if you go and look on a deeper level, though we are one, the universe, humanity, the Jewish people, constitute a single organism, organism. And on this level, we're truly part of one essence. Then, I do not mind if you get the head, because you and I are one. It's very hard for many people at times to create room for another and let them shine brightly. We're scared that they might get the head and we will end up with the leg.
Yeah.
So some of us spend years to ensure that others don't succeed. They feel that their success necessitates the failure of others. So what is needed is broadening of consciousness, a cleansing of perception, a gaze into the mystical intertwined of all of us. Then I will not only allow, but will celebrate your emergence in full splendor. In other words, your success will not hinder mine. Why? Because we're one. Because instead of thinking, how can I cut you down, I also think, how can I help you reach your ultimate success? So different stones may need to have different positions. Yet, here is no room for manipulation, mistreatment. Why? Because we are one. So Jacob, the father of all of Israel, who encompassed within himself the soul of all of his children, inspired this unity within the stones. And within the stones around it. Initially, the stones operated on a superficial level of consciousness. And therefore, they were quarreling who will get to lie under Jacob's head. But Jacob inspired them in a deeper consciousness, allowing them for that night to see themselves as a single stone, even while they were in different positions. So in our night of night, we need Jacob, and we need to have the Jacob to know how to inspire the stones around them, with the state of consciousness. When I remove the letter I from who I am and I put in the letter we, then what happens? There is no quarrel. We become one. And that's what Jacob, that's what the stones are really, and that's what Jacob was really, really making sure that each one of us understood and made sure that each one of us hopefully will become one and with that, then obviously all the quarreling, all the everything will cease.
One that's, for all and all for one.
That's right. That is something that I see is very, very interesting that we can learn from the story. Now, obviously, we know that in less than 3 weeks is Hanukkah, so we're on a big move now. We're doing well, thank God. The Hanukkah event at the Devon Star Mall is going to be December 4th at 4:30. Is a Tuesday. Front of where Sears used to be, same place as last year. And this year we're going to be honoring the Windsor Fire Department. We're going to have a grand menorah lighting. You can come and take a picture with the firefighter. They have a fund, which is a benefit fund, which is run by the firefighters, funded by the firefighters. So we are going to have a fundraiser. We are right now in the community to be able to make sure that we can help with that. Fundraising events. Anyone that wants to donate can just go to our website, windsorchabad.com, and you can donate there, and all that money that you donate will go to the benefit fund of the firefighters, and the chief of fire will be there to light the first candle free of charge for the whole community. And I was actually looking back, you know, this is our 10th, the big milestone,
right.
This is our 10th
yeah.
annual menorah lighting at the mall. So 10 different unique ideas. So we're looking very much forward to this one.
Very good. And Rabbi, what about services?
Services we have Friday evening is 5 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30, and Sunday is 8:30, followed by breakfast. And Monday and Thursday his ad is at 7:15, a great way to start the morning.
I wish you Shabbat Shalom and a great weekend, and we will talk next week.
We will. Be well, Lila.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.